I'll begin this service today in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. We'll read the Psalm for today. The words are in Jesus' name. Psalm 103, a Psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. To such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen. What wonderful words there for us. And as I was speaking with our Pastor Jim this morning, I just happened to hear something that stirred me this morning that so often, I, for one, am prone to look back to yesterday and look back with disdain and sadness at some of the things that where I transgressed in God's law, in God's laws, and I didn't live up to my own expectations that I had set for myself to do the things I wanted to do. And I tend to let that memory of yesterday color my day today. But this morning, I seem to get a new glimpse of something that, as we read here in the Psalm, and that David writes that his mercies are new every morning. That means that all the things that we did wrong yesterday are forgiven, and as Jim mentioned this morning, that God doesn't remember them either. Imagine that we are released from our yesterday's mistakes to the point that God does not remember them. And he looks at us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that robe of righteousness. And that's how we can see ourselves today, this day, as we sit here, ready to see what God's message will be from our Pastor Jim. And even now, that our sins are forgiven, and that he's merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. So let's be happy today that all of those yesterday's things are gone forever. They're forgiven, whatever it was. And today's a new day in him that we can rejoice and live and actually move and live and breathe in him as a new creature in Christ. What a way to start out a day, isn't it? A new mercy every morning. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Giving thanks for this. Our gracious Father, we as we meditate upon this great gift that you have bestowed upon us through your dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. How could it be that there could be so much mercy and so much love towards us? Us earthly creatures that are so prone to following our own paths and finding a brighter light somewhere else and chase after that. But how wonderful it is that in spite of all of our shortcomings and our mistakes and our errors, that you don't even see them. Every morning it's a new day, that we are a new creature in you, worshiping you, sinless, through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ, in spite of our frailties. May we have that great blessing entrenched upon our hearts of what the blood has done, that precious blood of the Lord Jesus has done for each of us, has made us new creatures, just justified, which is just as if we had never sinned. May this message be implanted upon our hearts so that we could show that joy to others around us, wherever we might go, and have that spirit of Christ, that he, as it is said of him in the scriptures, that he went about doing good. May that spirit be in us as well, and to pass on the good news. Be with our Pastor Jim as he comes this morning and brings us that great message of love and kindness and mercy from the Father in the throne room, or wherever he's even here with us in our midst, all around us. The Spirit is even moving and living and breathing in us, even as we are here all together. So we just thank you for those great gifts, Father. We also ask that you would be with those that are not able to attend services. We have several from this congregation that no longer can be part of us, that you would be with them wherever they are, and somehow that they could understand and feel your love this morning in their hearts. They could know that in spite of being apart from us, that they're still your child, and that they also are new creatures in you. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and praise the Father, as the Lord Jesus himself so long ago taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Mercy and peace from God our Heavenly Father be multiplied to each and every one of you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I had chosen to speak from that psalm that Brother Allen read, the psalm for today, so I will not have to read that through. I will just begin on Psalm 103. Beautiful psalm that is given, that it makes known that The title says, An Exhortation to Bless God for His Mercy, a Psalm of David. And we know that David expresses many of our thoughts and feelings, and he is very brave in expressing some of the things that he does in the Psalms. And we're thankful for that, because as we know, there are many things in life that we know we have no control over. We're not able to fix all of the things that have gone astray, and all kinds of different things. Even this time that we experience a season where there's candidates, then they're campaigning for the office and everything, and different things are said, and sometimes we start dwelling upon some of those things that really are of small value, you might say. We can't say they're of no value, but they are of small value compared to what God has been able to write down in this book that He has given to us, where there are all of the things that have been recorded from the beginning, when God breathed into a pile of clay, you might say, that He had formed out of the ground, and we, man, became a living soul. And so we are well aware that our life is limited. Our life is only for so long. We spend, as the psalmist makes known to us, our days as a watch in the night, and as a tale that's already been told, or a story that's already been told, because of the brevity of life. But the scripture is very, very gracious to us in that it doesn't leave man just hanging there, saying and telling us that, well, your life is going to be short, and but it gives us a glorious hope that goes beyond this life. And this is the great vision that was given to the people of God, that is even recorded in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. That was one of the texts in the past Sundays, where they, by faith, they had this common bond. Some of those people of faith, some of them were kings, and some of them were rulers. Others were just ordinary people. And there were those that had perhaps reputations that weren't so great in the world then, and even now today. But they had a common bond, because they all looked for a city that it tells us whose builder and whose maker was God. And they were able to lift their eyes off the things that they would be able to see and to hear and to touch and to feel around them. And they're able to look to a city. And this is what Paul writes about also, when he writes even to the Colossian Christians. He tells them to set their affection on things above and not on things on the earth. This was kind of a theme that runs through much of the scripture, that the scripture wants us to set our affection, because God has been able to give sight to the blind. And we know that some of the songs that we even sing in our hymnal were written by a person by the name of Fanny Crosby, who was blind. But reading a little bit about her, she was thankful that God had been able to give her vision. And it wasn't natural vision. It was a vision of things that had been written, that we are able to take great comfort in. Because when we go from strength to strength and from day to day, and as the children are even contemplating going back to school now in the fall, and sitting at a desk, it sometimes doesn't sound like it's the most attractive thing to do. And even when I think of it myself, I remember that I didn't really care for sitting too long in a desk at school. Even though we were at a one-room country school there in South Dakota, and it didn't seem like we were very far from the outside, but we were, it was like we sometimes would refer to it as a prison. The school is like a prison. But once we got out of school, we realized that some of the things we learned there, they were good for us because we were able to, one of the great benefits is we were able to read this word. We're able to read God's love letter that he has written for us. And we're able to read about the greatness of our God and how he dealt with his people in times past, how he never forsook them. He was always there. He was always there. And as we read about, even when he, like in the psalm, it mentions about remembering that that Moses, the things that he did for Moses. And when we look back and read what happened, Moses was told to lead his people out of the land of Egypt because God had heard their groaning in that far-off land. They were in bondage, and they were in a place where the toil was just more than they were able to bear. And God heard their groaning. They perhaps were not able to even mention a very beautiful prayer, but he heard their groaning, and he got a hold of Moses, who had gone into the wilderness for 40 years to herd sheep, and he began to speak with Moses, and he told him to go and tell Pharaoh to let his people go. And Moses was reluctant at first to do such a thing. But nevertheless, it tells us by faith, Moses identified with the people of God. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And he chose rather to suffer affliction, to suffer with the people of God for a season. Because, see, he knew that it wasn't going to last forever. He knew it was going to be for a season. And that's the way it is when we look back at our life, at some of the difficulties that we experienced as people, that we've gone through. Some hard times, losses, when there's been someone in the family that has been taken, that we were close to. We look back and we cherish the memories, and we cherish the time that God allowed us to spend with those people. And so when we look back, we know that God allowed many things to happen to his people so that he would be able to show them that he is a God who does not leave us, nor does he forsake us. And the promise was given in the scripture way back in the Garden of Eden, that the serpent would have his head crushed by the seed of the woman. And that happened when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came to this earth, and he died and was hanging on a cross, suspended there between heaven and earth. And when he was able from that pulpit to proclaim forgiveness to those people who had put him there, because he said, they do not know what they are doing. And he was able to even minister salvation to a thief that was dying. And he was concerned about his mother. He was concerned about all the world that had forsaken him. His own people had rejected him. The word that had become flesh and had dwelt among them. He was concerned about all those people. And so he died while we were still in our sin. And it's a figurative language, because if we had been there at that time, we would have been with those crying out for his crucifixion. We would have been there. We would have forsaken him even as his disciples who had witnessed all of the miracles that he did. They walked with him, and they were able to see how he was able to give good things to the people. He was able to fill their mouths. He was able to fill the hungry. And he was able to open up the prisons and to let the captives free. He was able to give sight to the blind. He was able to touch the ears of many people so that they could hear in a natural sense. And he was able to give strength even to those who were not able to walk, because he came so that we would have life and have it more abundantly. And so David had come to know his Lord and his God. And he perhaps had a sense that, you know, sometimes we forget. We forget what God has done. We remember the things a lot of times that we should not remember. And the great ability that God has, and as Alan even mentioned, he has the ability to forget. And this is a good characteristic of our Lord and of our God. So that we would also remember this. He has forgotten our past sin. He doesn't remember it. And so when David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." Well, to bless God is to honor him and to praise his name above all other names. That we would, it is not that God needs our blessing, but it is a great refreshment to our soul to dwell on what God has said, what God has done, and what he continues to do, and what he has prepared for us. It is good for us to remember that. And that's why Paul, when he writes, I believe it is to the Philippian people, he says, to think on that which is of good report. Think on that which is lovely. Think on those things that edify. Think on those things that are of good report, so that it helps us to get through the world that we live in, because there isn't hardly a day goes by that we read some very sad news, or we'll see some sad pictures in the paper or on the news, on the evening news, very sad indication of the depravity of man in this world. And the Lord knew what he was going to face when he came to this earth. He knew very well what man was. For his first family, the two brothers were in the field. And what happened? It says that Abel's sacrifice was acceptable unto God. Cain's sacrifice was not. Instead of Cain turning from his way, he rose up and he tried to and succeeded in getting rid of his brother. The fact that his brother's sacrifice was acceptable made him feel uncomfortable. And so in his mind, the best solution was to get rid of that which made him feel uncomfortable. And we're not able to do that. We can live a life that is very strict. We can try to get rid of those things that we think are separating us from God. But we need to attach ourselves to what God has in store for us. That he has forgiveness for all sin in his name and in his blood. If we first of all reject that and think, well, I'm a little bit too good to be concerned about his forgiveness, we are already taking a path of the Pharisee when he thanked God that he was not as other people, or even as that publican who sat there. This Pharisee was thanking God not for who God was and how great he was and that he had been merciful to him. He thanked God that he was not as other people or even as that publican. This is what pride does. It exalts us over our fellow man. It exalts us so that we would look at ourselves as being something better. And the scripture warns us that we are not to look at ourselves as being more highly than we ought to, but to realize that God has made us what we are. We are good only through him. Our worthiness is through Jesus Christ, who has loved us and who has given himself for us. And so we bless the Lord, as David says, O my soul, and we forget not all his benefits. As a nation, we want to remember the benefits we have that have been made possible for us in this country. That we would thank God for all of the things that we have in living in this land. And this is what God did to the people of God so many years ago when he brought them into the land of promise. But he told them, as we are able to read, he says, don't think that you have been brought here because of your righteousness. Don't think that you have come here because you are a good people. I have brought you here because, he said, I am a merciful God. Because I am merciful to you. He realized they did not deserve his mercy, but he is a merciful God. And he continues to shower his mercy upon us each day, not because we deserve it, but because he is a merciful God, so that we would not forget his benefits. And he begins to name the benefits here in this psalm. He names the first one, where he says he has been able to forgive all thine iniquities. David said, blessed is the one whose sin is covered and whose iniquities are forgiven. He healeth all thy diseases. We sometimes might wonder, well, wait a minute. I know a lot of sick people in this world, and not all of them have been healed from their disease. Yes, there are a lot of sick people, but those who believe will ultimately will be healed. What did Job say? He says, even if the Lord slay me, he said, yet I will trust him. He knew that in the midst of his difficulty and his sorrow, of losing his children, of losing his livestock, all that he had, he was a wealthy man, but he did not curse God. He did not turn his face away from his Lord and his God. He says, rather, I came into this world with nothing. And he says, I will leave with nothing. He understood that the Lord would receive him. He said, even though the skin worms destroy what I have, yet on the last day I will see the Lord. You will be able to see him. And this is the faith that prompted the men like Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac to press onward. Like Paul the apostle, when he was in a prison, he said that in his prison, in the depths of that place, of a hole in the ground that they sometimes have described where he was there in Rome, they used to drop things down through a hole from the top. It must have been a very despicable place. But he tells Timothy, I have a crown that's waiting for me. And he says, not only for me, he says, but for all those who love his appearing. He says, because he knew that he was about to be delivered. And so, as he describes seeing God as through a darkened glass, he describes our life. We see his promises. We can read his promises. And we have a veil of flesh that causes the promises of God to be somewhat obscure and darkened before our eyes. But one day, we will see him as he is. This is the great promise that Paul wanted to give to the people. He will be able to change, as he says, our vile body. He will be able to fashion it like unto his glorious body. We'll be like him, and we will see him as he is. And this is the great promise that God is able to give to us. He redeems and he is able to heal our diseases. There is not one disease that he hasn't been able to heal. Maybe it'll take the grave to heal our diseases, but the grave is our victory. So therefore, like as Jesus Christ was raised again, we likewise will be raised together with him. He redeemeth our life from destruction. We see, without God, life can go on very smooth, very easy, or it can be rough. But with God, when we have rough going, we have that hope that Abraham had, that glorious hope. He believed against hope when he was walking up that mountain, when he was asked to sacrifice his only son Isaac. He believed that God would raise him again from the dead, even if he would slay his son. It wasn't his choice to do such a thing. And when he went and did the final act of binding his son on the altar, the angel of the Lord said, "Do not harm your son, for we know that you trust and that you believe God because you have not withheld your only son." He wanted Abraham to understand the nature of God, the father of faith. And the father of faith came to understand that God himself, when he gave his son, there was no angel that intervened, but his son was given on that place of execution so that we would be the beneficiaries. And so therefore, we benefit each day of our life because of what happened 2,000 years ago on a cross. He redeems our life from destruction. But more than that, he says, he crowns thee with loving kindness and tender mercy. Imagine being crowned with loving kindness and tender mercy. This invisible crown that we are able to wear because of one who wore a crown of thorns on his head. We now are able to wear this glorious crown of loving kindness and tender mercy. He's able to satisfy our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagle. And here again is metaphoric language, that our youth is renewed like the eagle that soars. And even today it is a majestic sight when we're able to see the eagle as it flies. It is used in Scripture as a majestic bird that God has made. And in a sense, our old portion, the old man, the portion you see it dies, it perishes day by day. But the inward man is renewed on a daily basis by God's restoring power of grace and love. We are restored inwardly. That which is not seen, but that which is God-breathed within us. For we have become a living soul. We are not an animal that has no soul. We are not a tree or any other object, but we are people that are the great possession of our Lord and of our God, whom He has made after His image for that purpose, that we would praise His name. And we say, well, how does that take place? The very fact that we believe, we are praising the name of our Lord and of our God, because He is able to see His image in us that reflects what He has done for us and what He continues to do for us. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. And we talked about it, that He has made His ways unto Moses and His acts unto the children of Israel. Their clothes didn't wear out even for 40 years. Their shoes and all of the things for 40 years. Imagine that. Imagine shoes not wearing out. But that's how it was for those people as they traveled. And yet, there were times when they wanted to turn back. But God was merciful. He was merciful to those people. He led them as lambs, because He is the chief shepherd of their soul. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. And then it says, He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. We see the times in Scripture, especially the blind man that was born. He was born blind. Everybody was trying to figure this out. Who did sin now, his parents or this man that he was born blind? And the Lord very, very gently says, neither, but that the work of God would be made manifest among you. He does not reward us according to our iniquity, regardless of what the devil would try to tell you, regardless of what he may try to throw at us. He does not reward us in this way. And He has not changed. He is the same today. He'll be the same tomorrow. He was the same for those people as they walked through the wilderness journey to the promised land. And then He says, for as high as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. In other words, it's not really something you can measure. You can't measure the mercy of the Lord that He has for us. But we just know that it exists, because He doesn't give us what we deserve. And that's what mercy is. Grace is something that we receive. It's unmerited favor from God. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. And we know that that is also an immeasurable distance. You can measure the distance from the north to the south, but you cannot measure the distance from the east to the west. It is infinite. And then He wants to show us that God is like a father who pities His children. And this is a great picture for us, for the most part. If we have had a father that was not very kind to us. And that can happen. It doesn't happen too often, but it can. Sometimes it's hard for people to understand that God is like a kind and loving father to them. But for the most part, we have had fathers who cared for us very deeply. They were concerned about us more than we really understood at the time. But they wanted the best for us. And they pitied us, especially when we were not feeling well, when we were sick, when we had things that happened in our life. They were there to comfort us by their presence, by their steadfast love. And so the Lord pities those that fear him. He knows our frame. He remembers what we're made of because he made us. He made us, and he will never forget what he has made. He knows how easily we can be broken. And when Paul writes to the Corinthian people, he tells them that God has placed his treasure in these earthen vessels. These earthen vessels of clay contain the treasure of the Lord. And then he says, as for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, he flourisheth. The wind passeth over it, it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. He writes about the brevity of life. David, as a king, had experienced many things. He had experienced facing a lion as a young man, a bear. And then as a young boy, he faced this man by the name of Goliath. And his brothers scoffed at him when he showed up on the scene. They said, "Who are you leaving those few sheep?" And they were belittling him. They were men of war, but David was just a shepherd boy. But he said, "I'll go and fight that giant." And he took his sling and he took his stones, and he was able, with the stone from his sling, to slay the enemy. And it's a good picture for us, because God's word is able to do that to the enemy. Luther writes in his hymn, "One word overthrows the enemy, the accuser, the malignant foe." He identifies him as a cancerous foe that is trying to destroy us. But he said, one word is able to overthrow him. And that's God's word, the word that was made flesh and has dwelt among us. It says, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. And so as David enumerates all of these benefits, it is good for us to read through this from time to time, and to apply them to our hearts and our souls, because this is how the Lord is able to nourish his people, with this good word that was nourishing to David himself, nourishing to his congregation, the people that he ministered to. And it is good for us to read these words and to know that he is the Lord, and we are his sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture. And he has prepared for us that city, which is the New Jerusalem that is written about in the scripture. The New Jerusalem is described as a city that has no more pain and sorrow, no death. And it is a beautiful city that is ours. It has been made possible by our Lord Jesus Christ, because he didn't remain here in a grave, and he didn't remain on this earth, but he was taken up into heaven, And the disciples saw him go, and they were comforted by the angel. And the angel said, "Why do you stand here gazing up into heaven? This same Lord will return in one day. And this is the day that we wait for. This is the day when we will see him. He will come back to this earth, and he will receive us to that place that he has gone to prepare for us, that is eternal in the heavens." And so David closes this psalm when he says, "Bless ye the Lord, all ye hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, and all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Because our soul delights in the Lord, because he has cared for us. He is our soul bearer. He will nurture us to the end. His yoke is easy, his burden is light, and we are able to be yoked with him through all things, through all the difficulties we experience, the disappointments that we have as people, our low points in life. We can be yoked to him, the one who knows us, who prayed for us, and whose thoughts toward us are beautiful and more than the sand of the sea. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Shall we pray? We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you for all the benefits that you have given to your people. It is not because we have deserved them, but because of your great love and mercy and grace toward us. We are your people. We are the sheep of your pasture, and we honor and praise that name which is above all other names. And now the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.